Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the second day of February, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is herding the cattle. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shemai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth. I was told by my cousin over in Wales that I'm mispronouncing quite a bit of the Welsh terminology. And so I've been gently reminded that there are some ways to figure out how to properly pronounce things. So I apologize to my Celtic kin over there. So it's Cymru am byth. It's amazing as you study other languages how they often pronounce your vowels, your consonants, and your diphthongs completely different than the way we do in modern English. So again, I apologize to my kinsmen. Prynhan Da is Welsh, or as close as I can get to the pronunciation of good afternoon, because over there they're a few hours ahead of us, I think about 5 hours. We do want to say that callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you mind your language, as we have young folks listening in and some of our senior citizens don't care for bad language, and that we are in the question and answer mode, and also be mindful not to walk on other people that are on the call. We sometimes have a tendency to do that. And so we want to observe Robert's Rules of Order, which means that once somebody has the floor and is speaking, other people wait their turn. Typically, the chairman, that would be me, will signify when somebody has the floor and when they don't. Let me see here. Oh, our website is PastorDan.net. It's simple. Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, just PastorDan.net. And I've made a few changes to the website. If you get a chance, go there and check it out. The news page has been changed. I've added quite a few new books to the long list of recommended reading. I do want to ask that if you see a title in there you're not sure about or question why I have it on the list, don't be bashful about sending it to me. I've put the books up there because typically they're referenced in other books that I'm reading, and if I think the author has something of worthwhile to tell us, then I'll add it to the list. Let's see here. Sound is good. Thank you. Appreciate that. And, you know, it's funny how Yahweh works. The old microphone headset that I had before, I had put electrical tape around it because the earpieces were disintegrating, and I finally broke down and bought this new set. It was a lot cheaper. I found a source, anyway, a lot cheaper than I thought I would be able to find a decent set, so I took a chance and got it. And it's turned out to be quite a blessing. Yeah, the new version. Now, folks, especially for folks that are logged in and can see the chat room, I did that a while back because John Mark was my guest, and somebody grabbed his phone number off there and blew up his phone with all kinds of nonsense. It turned out we had a troll that day. And so I've turned on the mode where you can't see who's all in the participation block like you used to, because that's where they got the phone number from. So it's hiding all the folks that are in there. And I apologize for that, but I want to keep the privacy of the people that are calling in by phone away from the folks that would do that kind of thing to you. So one of the other things I was told about was I mispronounced Mr. Goethe's name, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Completely blotched that one. Did find out through my online dictionary that does have a pronunciation feature that if I'd have clicked on it, I would have found out that's how you pronounce it. It looks like Goethe to me, but it's Goethe. G-O-E-T-H-E. There's no R in there, and yet it's pronounced as if there is an R in there. That's why I say when we get into trying to pronounce these words in foreign languages, we often butcher it. And no, I make apologies for it, but I don't know any other way around it. Because in this day and age, especially in American English, we have incorporated so many of our kinsmen's languages, whether it's Austrian, German, Afrikaans, French, Italian, Spanish, you name it, the Celtic. It's just a conglomeration. It's no wonder other people have trouble when it comes to learning English, because American English, anyway, is actually a conglomeration of a multitude of languages. And often we'll have the same pronunciation for three different words. For instance, two. Okay, you got T-O, T-O-O, and T-W-O, and it's all pronounced two. So you have to figure out the context. If you're listening, if it's in print, that's different. But if you're listening to a conversation, you have to take into the context. So again, language. What is language? It's the science of conveying your thoughts to other people using words. So it's an actual science, if you think about it. How to properly put words together so that your thoughts can be received by another person, and when they take those words and translate them back, that in their mind, they're thinking the same thing you are. Now, just think about that for a minute. That's difficult. Now, this gets into a little bit about the topic today and how we've been misled and how the enemy is herding us like cattle in the direction that they want us to go. Okay? Words, when you can manipulate words, you can manipulate what people form in their mind, and it's now become weaponized. At the same time, think about this, as you try to read what is in your scriptures that have been given to you by other people, they in turn are trying to take words written thousands of years ago, in some cases, in a language no longer spoken. They're trying to get into the heads of the people that wrote it, and then turn around and put it in words that you will understand and get the same thoughts as the people that wrote it 2,000 years ago. Think about how difficult that is. That's a little bit why we get into this. Some people might call it existentialism, or this concept that we do have a real-time connection to our Father, and we sometimes downplay that. We get into playing religion. And I did a little word search on this because it's one of the methods that our enemy is using to corral us. And I did some digging into the etymology of this word, and I looked at a couple different sources, and here's what Cicero, who of course lived many centuries ago, Cicero said about the Latin term that we get religion from, which I'm not even going to begin to pronounce this. Those that know how to speak Latin, it's R-E-L-E-G-E-R-E. And I would say it looks like regalare or something similar to that, which means go through again, as in reading or in a thought. Re or re, as we say in English, R-E, means to do it again, as in to return or resend a letter. Get it? And legere, or L-E-G-E-R-E in the Latin, is to read. So like to read it over again. which is the popular etymology among the later ancients, such as Servius, Lactantius, and Augustine. And the interpretation of many modern writers connects it with regulare, which is R-E-L-I-G-A-R-E, to bind fast via notion of place an obligation on or a bond between mankind and the gods. In this case, the R-E would be intensive. Okay, but then he often talks down here too that I'm looking for that definition here. It's the Latin ligare, if you think of it, it's where we also get the word ligament. What is a ligament? It's where we attach muscle to bone. That's through ligaments, right? And I've read this in books years ago, the fact that the very word religion is almost like government. What is government? That's two Latin terms that have to deal with controlling your mental processes. Okay? Government, mental, mentality. Okay? So government. So the power of government, if you think about it, and we've talked about this concept many times, the power of government is controlling your thoughts. Okay? The government controls you via law. But they first have to convince you that they have, one, the authority to govern you, and they have to convince you that anything they put on a piece of paper is enforceable. In fact, recently we've had some of these members of the kakistocracy in America actually say something as stupid as, if we put it in law, that makes it constitutional. Just the very fact that they put it on paper and signed it and voted on it, that makes it constitutional, which is ludicrous. But that's where we're at today, okay? They are manipulating our minds. This is all a great big mind game, okay? So government must convince you first that they have a right to govern, and then they have to manipulate you through the law. Now, we all know that this is Talmudic, Jewish Talmudism at work, because that's exactly what that's all about. The Talmud is used to keep the Jewish people in tow, and Talmudism became Roman Catholicism. The Jews took over the Roman Catholic Church many centuries ago. Okay, so now they have that whole section of mankind under the sway of popery. Okay, so the Talmud now controls the Jews, controls the Roman Catholic world, which is the Christian world. And the offspring from the popery side of things was the Protestant churches. They are the daughters of the whore, which is Roman Catholicism. So now the Jews, through this Talmudism, this Talmudic mind control, they now have control of those two sectors. And then they also worked on the other peoples of the world through Mohammedism, which is their creation as well. So I've been doing a lot of reading on historical documents, Nietzsche, and a man called Lash. I've just started looking into his book called Not in His Image. When you first start reading these books, you begin to think, your first reaction, because you've been conditioned, your first reaction is to say these people are heretics. And the Catholic Church, believe me, under Jewish control, burned many people over the centuries at the stake for even talking about some of these writers and their thoughts. Okay, why is that? Because, again, what is religion? Religion is a law. It is no different than government, only it's in the realm of, quote, faith. It's just another form of regulation or control over you. So if they can't control you by the written word in civil government, then they'll control you through manipulation of the church world. And that's why people like Nietzsche and others like Lash talk about the fact that these men railed against Christianity. Now, when you first hear those words, your thoughts are that they're heretics and blasphemers. But even Thomas Jefferson talked about this. They did not rail against the anointed one of Yahweh. That is not who they railed against. Many of them, including Nietzsche and others, talked about the fact that the living Christ, the embodiment incarnate Yahweh, or God, they did not have a problem with that. What they had a problem with is this religion aspect of Christianity, the organized religion, which became like law, man-made law over the people. That's what they railed against. And when you realize that, you look at what they wrote in a completely different light, and you begin to understand that they are actually on to something. As we watch the exposure of the Roman Catholic Church and its complete perversion, you can kind of make sense. I read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and Fox is F-O-X-E. Fox's Book of Martyrs, it was disgusting. There were times that I had tears in my eyes as I read the eyewitness accounts of what the Roman Catholic Church did to those who opposed their dictatorial control over mankind. So you people, you know, we're told to watch out for the Bolsheviks and communists, and they are hideous creatures. But they're no less or no more hideous than the Roman Catholic butchers and murderers through the centuries. It's no wonder the Protestants that came to America and the colonists considered the Pope the Antichrist. That's what they actually said. And that's why the first people to come to this country and to North America to escape popery-ism of Europe, they came here with the idea that we were never to allow Catholics into this land and certainly never allow them to power. You know, and it's interesting as we watch the cacistocracy try to lord over us, what has the administrations in my lifetime done, certainly since John F. Kennedy, what have they done to us but to establish popery here in America? Because, again, the Jesuits, who are Jews, established and took over control of the Roman Catholic Church. What do you have sitting in your Supreme Court today? You have nothing but Jews and Catholics. And you wonder why that we no longer represent or even resemble what the founders and the early colonists, the Puritans and the pure of faith that came here and established America, we no longer resemble the Protestant Christian Republic that was founded by our fathers. We resemble more Babylon. Why is that? Well, because your government has been taken over. Your government's been taken over by the very people that the founding fathers detested and warned us about, and you've been sound asleep. Why? Because your watchmen have not been sounding the alarm, meaning your pastors and preachers. They are leaders of this usurpation upon the people, usurpation of our character, our race, our family, our faith. That's why I really try to shy away from even using the term Christian. I don't like that term, to be honest with you. That's why I don't use it when I talk about identity. I don't say Christian identity. I call it just identity, because we identify who's who in the zoo. I don't like the term because, first of all, I know where it came from. Christianos, which is a Greek term, was a term of derision used by the people 2,000 years ago against the followers of the Messiah. Christianos was a term of derision, meaning it was a they mocked them. It was a derogatory term, basically calling you a pig. OK, Okay, same thing. So the very word Christianos, just like the word church, church is from paganism, and it means circle, as in pagan human sacrifice circles, that type of thing. So we're surrounded with all this pagan terminology. And we wonder why we're lost. Because you don't have watchmen anymore. You don't have true prophets. You don't have true preachers of the word. You've got people who have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power within them. They really don't. So we've been bamboozled in so many different ways, and that's why there's so much, so many people who are disheartened about the whole, quote, Christian, mainstream Christian church world, because there's no power in it. There's no truth in it. There's no masculinity in it. It doesn't even match up with natural law. It's just another, quote, religion. It's another man-made system to regulate or rule over mankind. That's what they've turned it into. Whereas the faith of our Messiah and Yahweh, because they're both one and the same, is a natural law. It's natural. It comes. It's in your heart. And it's verifiable by just what you see around you. Empirical evidence verifies the natural law. I was just reading before the program started that in antiquity and until the, quote, organized church world through Catholicism, all of your ancient societies, and especially in Japan, they didn't even have a word for religion. That was only during the Roman Catholicism period did the term religion even come into play. Most of their societies, even under Buddha and Dharma and Confucianism and all that, when you study, and I'm reading a book on the Buddha right now and the language of the Buddhists, the original. Now, we're talking about the original now, not what it's become today, because everything today is polluted. Okay? We're talking about the original. The original Buddha was an Aryan, just like the original Confucius was an Aryan, meaning an Israelite. So all they were talking about in their day was exactly what Yahweh said he put Adam here for, which was to be his administrators and to carry his law into this sick world, because without Yahweh's law, it is a sick world. Cannibalism, incest, rape, torture, all these sick and demented things go on when there is no rule of law under God's law. And so we were put here to do that. So now you find that our people all through the centuries, they quote, created a religion in modern terms around the teachings, which were just basically expounding on Yahweh's law for people like Buddha and Confucius, etc. Even the ancient Vedas of India, which came from that region in northwestern India, the same place where Buddha got started, if you read the writings, it's all our language. Even the Quran, again, all make-believe based on our faith, our teachings of our Heavenly Father, and turned it, people, mankind, again, saw it as a way to control the people. Look at how Rome turned and used Christianity to rule over the people. Okay, it just took a different form. Okay, they said, well, we're not going to try to regulate them with law. We'll regulate them with religion. Same thing, though. Same thing. You look at the Pope. What is he? He's just like a prime minister or a president, isn't he? He's a supreme ruler. Okay, he's got his bishops and cardinals. What are they? Governors? Governors, members of Knesset, members of Parliament, members of Congress, the same thing. Go back to the Latin roots, and that's what it's talking about, to regulate the way you think. Government, it's a mental construct. And so we're actually in a matrix, if you think about it. The movie The Matrix is making fun. It's them poking you. It's the Bolshevik communists who have taken over poking fun at you that right here I'm making a movie and you're laughing and you're entertained while we're actually telling you in the movie what we've done to you. We've plugged you in. How are you plugged in? Think about it. Plugging in, okay? In the Matrix, they were in that cocoon type device, and they were plugged in. What is plugging in? It has the connotation of what? Electrical. Why would you plug somebody in if you didn't have electrical signals? There would be no need to do that if you didn't have electricity going through the plug. So they're controlling you through what? Electronics. What's electronics? Every flat screen you're watching is run by electronics. I worked as an electrician and a technician in my career. I know how AC power and DC power is generated and rectified and everything else and turned into DC within the televisions and flat screens. I know how all that works. So, the Matrix is basically telling you we've got you plugged in. Voluntarily, by the way. You have voluntarily laid down in the cocoon and stuck the probe right into yourself through the flat screens where they control. Or if you go to a mainstream church, they're controlling you there. And what are they using in churches today? I haven't been to a mainstream church in a long, long time, but I hear from friends of mine who do. What are they using in the churches today? Great big monitors, big flat screen monitors. Same thing, right? Electronics coming through the eyes and ears, the very things that Yahweh told you to guard. Be careful what you allow into your eyes and ears because it will have an effect on your psychology and your psychosis. So again, we're being played. It's ironic. And this message today about how they are herding us like cattle came about because of some of the things I was reading, but also some conversations I was having with other believers, friends of mine. And it dawned on me that's exactly what's happening. You know, when the Trump administration first came on board, we were all hopeful. We were skeptical. I remember when it happened. There were a lot of us saying, be careful, because he comes across as an outsider. But remember, he's a billionaire from New York, which is Jew Central, Tel Aviv West, okay? So be careful. And we said be careful to watch out. Well, what has happened? Trump has become a cult. Now, Trump derangement syndrome, which I believe they call TDS, Trump derangement syndrome is a tool of the left to drive the herd into the TCS, which is the Trump cult syndrome that we see happening today. And I've got family in this cult. As soon as you say anything negative about Trump, they just jump up and go apoplectic on you. Okay? Well, what the hell choice did we have? Well, of course you don't have a choice. You couldn't support an outright Bolshevik like Hillary. Now, think back to how this all transpired, folks. Bernie Sanders actually had a lead at the primaries over Hillary. Even as decrepit and deranged as Bernie Sanders, the Jew, is, his Jewish running competition, Hillary, another wildebeest, another Talmudic wildebeest that we were put there for the Democrats, the Bolsheviks. Okay, that she took over because Bernie did not generate enough animosity. Remember, you're cattle. You're being driven just like cattle. And I'll get to you in a second, Tommy. You're being driven by cattle, so think about this. Bernie would not have driven us into the arms of the Trump cult as quickly as Hillary would. And so they stole the primary away from Sanders and made sure that he understood to keep his mouth shut. And they put Hillary in there because they knew the one group of people that they're afraid of and they're trying to herd is the white man with a weapon. That's what they're afraid of. That's the only thing they're afraid of, is the white man with a weapon who can see through their bullshit. That's what they're afraid of. That's why all the gun control laws, that's why they herded us into the Trump cult. So think about this. You're the satanic forces, and how are we going to control these white guys with guns? Because if we put the Bolshevik hag Jew Hillary in there, there will be a revolution tomorrow. So just think you're these little hook-nosed Bolshevik communists sitting around trying to figure out how we're going to keep this herd from stampeding over our Zionist control of America, and because of that, the world. So obviously, Hillary was there to drive the herd into the corral called Trump cult syndrome. And that's exactly what they did. Now, Trump is saying all the right words, but what are his actions? Just like he said at a rally, the Second Amendment will never disappear under my watch. But is it true? No, it's not true. It's disappearing very rapidly, and he's not doing a damn thing to stop it. Okay, so again, it's a cult following, because even though he does not back up what he says, even though we were not given the truth about Las Vegas and 9/11, even though the culprits like Hillary and Podesta and Weinstein and Epstein were not put in prison like they should be and executed, he did not follow through on any of that. But even though he didn't do that, he's still speaking the right speech, and therefore his rhetoric is what they're going on, which is a symbol of and a identification of a cult. It's a cult following. So we are being driven just like a herd of cattle. That's what they call us, right? Goyim. That's a herd. So just like cattle, and I grew up on a farm, I know how you herd cattle. We're being herded into the Trump cult corral, where we will be held for the slaughter. Think about what I'm telling you, all right? So you've got the religious world, the mainstream Christian church world, which is trying to corral us into the pens, waiting to be slaughtered. For those that escape the mainstream churches and their complete retarded rhetoric, you've got the political side. And the whole reason for all of this is to control the people that they fear the most, which is the armed white man, okay? So, again, I'm putting this out on the table for you to chew the meat and spit out the bones, okay? These are things that came to me in my reading last night and this morning for about an hour and a half as I was praying and contemplating right where the psalm talks about on my bed, about where we are and why is there so much confusion and why is there not really any remedy in sight. Levi says here, all government is religion. That's why Yahweh is angry with us. He's jealous. Amen. Yeah, we've turned government and religion into idols. We're worshiping idols, just like worshiping Trump is a form of idolatry. So I don't... people need to wake the hell up. Tommy, you're on the air with me, bud.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, listening to what you're saying about the Trump cult syndrome, I was one of those idiots as well at one point up until, I'd say, about a year ago. I noticed, and it makes perfect sense what you're saying, is that, the Hill of the Beast was just she's never going to be a president. It's never going to happen. People think she's going to be a president. It's never going to happen. She's nothing more than a useful idiot to hook-nosed tyrants, and she knows that. She gets paid millions of dollars just to sit here and play a role.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't give a damn. As long as she got the gravy train coming, she don't care. She does
right.
not care. She's the ice queen of the West. She does not care. Now, Bernie is quite interesting because Bernie is a true psychopath. Like this guy's completely loony, and he's constantly apologizing for having a bunch of nut jobs in his campaign, literally caught on video, Project Veritas. And they just keep releasing more and more stuff. These people are saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna put anyone that doesn't support Bernie into concentration camps, into gulags." I mean, this came out of the mouths of people working directly for Bernie Sanders. So, and this was like four people they caught so far really saying the same thing. Some
mm-hmm.
of them are flat out saying they're going to use firearms, they're going to use bombs. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. With that kind of talk, where's the FBI to go jump on them?
Yeah.
Where's the bastion of justice to go hop on and stop these bad guys before they do something? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if people are still worshiping the blue line, that's just as bad. I'm sorry. If they're worshiping the same people who take orders from these people and are more concerned about losing their damn pension, that's just as bad as Trump, you know, Trump cult syndrome. It really is. I mean, you never worshiped a police officer. You just respected them. That's all you did. You don't worship the ground they walk on. You just say, "Oh, thank you for coming when we needed you, called and you showed up." You did that. You don't worship them as a god. They're
right.
going to do a job, and that's it. But people today are literally bowing down to them. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? like seriously, what? I call them the Blue Line Mafia. They're no different. I think of
right.
myself. The only decent cops that I've met are the ones that are, like, really level-headed. And they're just like, look, it's just a job I do. Thank you for supporting us. But, you know, they're usually the ones that they're kind of like, they don't want to be in the spotlight. And I know a lot of those guys. They're good people, those ones. And a lot of them are generally almost retiring. That's also the funny part. They see what's coming. Receive the negative backlash that's coming. So a lot of them are smart and getting out. And a lot of them are keeping their heads down, and they're just kind of like telling their new guys, look, take a chill pill. Don't take everything so serious. Go home to your family every night, but don't piss off the public. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Those are your real peace officers. They're the ones that usually keep things at peace, you know, to the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I heard stories where, you know, when they were younger, but a lot of them never really shot anybody. This is the interesting part. Most of the cops that I've met that were on the job for 30, sometimes 40 years, they never pulled their gun out on anybody, almost ever.
Right.
Isn't that funny how in just the past 20 years, a new cop will probably end up shooting somebody multiple times in their career, maybe if not tens of times. What is wrong with that?
Well, there's been a paradigm shift in a lot of areas, and law enforcement is one of them. First of all, the term law enforcement is only a few decades old.
Yep.
I remember when it first came out, I thought, law enforcement? Why the hell would you call them law enforcement?
Mm-hmm.
They were always called police officers or peace officers.
Yep.
Okay. And so you think about it, that's a paradigm shift. And again, it's Talmudic, it's Jewish in nature, because it's a conditioning of the brain. You got to remember, the Jews work by deception. They've always worked by deception. So how do you get the cattle, that's us, the sheep, the cattle, the herd, to follow the idea that law is supreme, regardless of constitution, regardless of your biblical beliefs in God? law is supreme. Well, you also want to brainwash the guys with badges. So what you do is start referring to them as law enforcement, meaning that their whole reason for being is not policing or keeping the peace, it's to enforce the law, no matter what the law is. How many times have you heard some of these cretins in uniform say, I have to enforce the law? Well, no, you don't. Okay, well, that's bullshit. That is part of the mental brainwashing of these Zionists in our land. And by the way, let me give a quick shout out to Pastor Chuck Baldwin and Rick Wiles. Within just the last couple days, both of those men put out broadcasts that were astounding in defaming these bastards, these communist Jews, and what they're doing to America. So a shout out to Rick Wiles and to, oh, and Coach Dave Dabomir as well, too. They're all three starting to be very outspoken about the Zionist control of this country. But it's all part of that mental construct. So there were two things that happened a couple decades ago, and I remember, and this is how subtle Satan's kids work. Okay, the devil's in the details. He works very subtly. That's why Christ told us to be on our guard at all times. There was a paradigm shift within the police departments when they became law enforcement officers. So they elevated them. See, they played to their egos. They're
the
not
Leos.
They're not ground pounders anymore. They're officers, okay? Uh-huh. So they and then they started lowering the IQ requirements. In other words, if you were higher than a certain IQ, you actually could not become a police officer. Connecticut was the first state I saw that did that. So your brightest white guys couldn't get in there. So the white guys that did get in there were the low IQs, along with the low IQ blacks, the low IQ browns, etc. So that was the first paradigm shift. At the same time, the next attack was against the employees of Christian companies because the corporations were taken over. And of course, corporations are another construct of Jews so that you can amalgamate and bring all of the power to the top. That's how they always work. That's why they worship the pyramid, because that's how they work, by a pyramid system. All power is the tiny few Jews at the top, and they control from that way down. The paradigm shift came when you went from being an employee, which was like a family member of a Christian small company, to a human resource. That's right out of the Talmud. Okay? You're just a member of the herd, folks. You're just one of the cows out there with a tag in its ear, which I've been against, by the way. When I was a boy on the farm, nobody stuck anything like that in a cow. And I went to my uncle's farm years later when I got out of the military, and I see all the cows out there with this big yellow tag hanging off their ears. I said, what the hell is that? Oh, we have to identify each cow, you know, so that we know which one's got shots and which one's got this and that, and we can quote, regulate it, and we have an accounting of every member of the herd. So even in our cattle, the actual cattle, the same tagging and manipulation and wanting to be invasive in our lives and completely controlled from birth to death by this oligarchy, it's even down to the cattle. It's even down to the ranches. And now they're putting chips in them. Now the ag departments and the government is saying you have to have a chip in your cattle. I mean, and they always have some stupid-ass ruse going on to justify it. Well, you know, there was a cow that got mad cow's disease, which, by the way, is man-made. Mad cow's disease, we need to chip all the cattle and sheep and everything so we can control them, and then if there's one disease, we'll find it. What a bunch of bullshit. It's complete bullshit. Mad cow's disease, you know what causes it? It's when they were feeding the sheep and cattle in England ground up meat. Now, who would do such a thing? In order to extend the feed, to make it cheaper. Now, who works by that method? Make it cheaper so that their profits are higher.
Exactly.
Instead of feeding the cattle and sheep all grains and hay, which is what I grew up with, that's the only thing you fed to the clean animals. They only eat herbs. They only eat grass. Okay? Instead of that, the people that owned the feed lots were taking diseased sheep and cattle that they could not sell in the human market. They sold it to the ranchers and farmers to put into the feed of their sheep and cattle, and then all of a sudden mad cow's disease. Why? Because sheep and cattle can't digest meat, folks. It's as simple as that. And then they turned around, they create the problem, and then they use what they created as an excuse to put more of these Talmudic rules and regulations on us. And like stupid cattle, we sit there and go, well, Martha, I don't like it, but, you know, they put it on paper and it's the law. And, you know, we got to obey the law because that lying piece of shit preacher told me last Sunday that Jesus expects us to obey the law. I mean, that's how stupid it's become. It really is. It's just that really stupid and idiotic the way we are led by these liars and these prostitutes, whether they're in government, they're at the news agencies, or in the churches. They're all prostitutes helping to feed the sheep into and guide them into the corral so that they can be tagged and bagged ready for the slaughter. That's exactly where we're at, Tommy.
Oh, yeah. And here's something you want you should add to people when they start acting like Obamaites just in the Trump camp. You know, interestingly enough is that he seems to have shifted again. How, oh, he's back on the pro Second Amendment train. Really?
You know well, why, right?
Yeah, because of the votes.
Exactly.
I'm thinking to myself, like, he doesn't even need the votes. They're going to put him in again. They're going to put him in again because he is electable in the eyes of the public. The public is going to accept it. They're not going to accept the Bernie Sanders. It's just like Hillary. If he gets in the White House, it's go time. I can guarantee you, what this guy has flat out said is enough to even get old school Democrats who are, you know, moderates and even for them to get off their asses and do something about it. He's not going to get in the White House. He'll never get in the White House. The only way he'll ever get in his own White House is if they separate. If they separate and have their own little People's Republic country of their own, yeah, then a Bernie Sanders would win. He will never win in that. Trump is the best illusion to play on people because he's
exactly.
a quote-unquote businessman. He's
a Trojan horse.
Yeah, and I mean, he's obviously controlled to a large extent. Maybe not 100%, but he's like 80% controlled. Let's just say that he in his second term does try to alleviate the regulations on the Second Amendment. Let's just say he does, and something happens to him. Then we'll know that he did try something to try to break control. But if nothing like that ever happens, then he was obviously a full-on puppet. But we're not going to know until things happen. And I don't even think the country is going to stay united that long.
No, we're breaking apart. John Mark and Kurt Doolittle are 100% right. This country, and especially after what happened in West Virginia and Virginia with the governor of West Virginia, along with Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr.,
yep.
making the statement that they will actively pursue bringing the counties that want to separate from Richmond into West Virginia. That would never have happened 50 years ago or 100
never.
Years ago, okay?
No, never.
So this is another sign that, and I agree with most everything, not everything, but most everything that John Mark and Kurt Little come up with, because it's very scriptural when you boil it down. And they're smart individuals, very smart
oh, yeah.
men.
Oh, yeah.
And they make their predictions are coming true because they're based on logic and rational thinking. We are coming apart. If anybody read Tom Chittum's book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, he wrote it back in 1995. I interviewed him in the early 2000s, somewhere around the year 2000, 2001. And we had a great discussion on air about his book. And he predicted it then, based on his military experience in the Army, because he actually saw active duty in hot zones, meaning war zones, in Europe, where countries were falling apart for the same exact reasons that ours is going to fall apart. Okay, we are split down the middle between Bolsheviks and those that still at least have some semblance of what the Founding Fathers believed in. But we are being herded by these Zionists because they control both camps. Okay? Jewish media says they hate Trump, and Trump is racist, and they've got xenophobe, all this stuff, okay? But that's the same group of people that are also funneling millions of dollars into Trump's pocket to stay in office. Why? Because he's the best thing that ever happened for Jews. Okay, so on one hand, you got a group of Jews trying to tell you that he's terrible, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, Jews are praising him and getting him to do all kinds of things for him, which, by the way, I watched an assessment by, I can't think of his name right now, but he did an assessment where Soleimani's being killed was a blood sacrifice tribute to his master from Trump to Netanyahu. Okay? So, because Soleimani did not represent a threat to the United States in any way, shape, or form. So taking him out was completely at the behest of the Israelis. And so Trump has already proven to me that he's in the Israeli camp. He's not an American. You can't be an American and an Israeli. That's physically impossible.
Yeah.
And so Trump is an Israeli, okay? His daughter is married to a Mossad officer, and he's a religious Chabad, which is probably one of the most intense and anti-Christian, anti-American sect of Jews. So he's Mossad, which is anti-American, and Chabad, which is anti-white and anti-Christ. So, I mean, you can't get more in the enemy's camp than Trump is, and yet people are still walking around because the left is so detestable, and nobody in his right mind is going to argue that. But folks, you're not given a real choice. You're mm-hmm. given Bolshevism, Bolshevik communism heavy, which is the left like Bernie Sanders and AOC, or you're given Bolshevik communism light, which is the Republican version. It's yep. still Bolshevism. It's still Zionism over this country. I mean, what the hell is wrong with people? And you know, we told them for day one, don't get caught up with Trump. What's important is the movement behind Trump, which is the disgusted white armed American who says, I've had enough of this bullshit, which obviously was repulsed with the whole Democratic Party and Hillary. Of course. But that's by design.
Yep.
You know, our guys are all sitting around, the people that still have a brain that can function. Some people don't watch that idiot box continually, and their brain still functions, and they're scratching their heads going, gee, Dan, I don't understand what they're doing. This just doesn't make any sense. I think they've lost their minds. They haven't lost their minds. They're doing exactly what they're paid to do. It's the script. This is all up stage protection, folks. You're being driven like cattle into that pen. The next step is disarmament, re-education camps, and for those that can't be re-educated, a firing squad. That's where we're headed. And for people that don't understand that, go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn and many others who survived the takeover of Christian Russia by these same Bolsheviks and what they did to the Russian the White Russian military, they slaughtered tens of thousands of military officers and men who would not convert to Bolshevism. Slaughtered them by the tens of thousands, the military officers. In fact, if you read the book, The Long Walk, it's by a Polish cavalry officer, one of the best in their ranks. And he tells the story of how they murdered 10,000 Polish officers because they could not trust them, because they were white and they were of the faith of Christ. And they murdered them in a woods and then blamed it on the Germans. 10,000 Polish officers murdered by the Bolsheviks, and they blamed it on the Germans. And then after the war, the evidence came out that it was the Bolsheviks that killed them at the Kadeen Forest Massacre. Okay? So he was one of the Polish officers they tried to re-educate, but he did not break. And instead of executing him, though, they sent him off to the gulags, where he eventually escaped. And that's the whole story of The Long Walk, was him and a small group of other escapees walked all the way from Siberia to India. Take a look at your map, folks. Go take a look at your Google Maps on how far it is from Siberia all the way to India and what they had to go through. I'm telling you, it's a tearjerker. Reading that story is a tearjerker, especially with the young woman that they picked up on the way who had escaped, and she was part of their group, and how she died. I mean, if you have a dry eye reading what these men went through and this woman, and trying to seek freedom and to be treated like a person instead of a piece of meat like the Bolsheviks do, you don't have a soul. You don't have any compassion in you at all if you don't have tears running down your eyes. That's why I fight the way I do, Tommy. I know what these bastards have planned for our people here.
Oh, yeah.
I know it.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. And I see exactly what's going on both ends. Like I said, that's why I reload, too. It's people might think, well, it's not as efficient. It's not that. It's a prepping skill you need to have, because at some point they're going to dry up the shelves. That's going to happen. People think that's never going to happen. It will happen. Maybe not everywhere, but it will happen. And in the places where people are going to need them the most, they're not going to have the stuff, and they're not going to have the tools to be able to reuse what they could find. And the interesting part is that you look at World War II, you look at what they were drop shipping sheet metal guns called the Liberator, 45 caliber single shot pistols, to use to try to gain better weaponry. Well, the same concept is that over here. The best part is we already have the guns here.
Right.
So we have a massive advantage already. People think we need tanks. You don't need tanks. You don't need that stuff. That can come at a later time. What is going to happen in this country, it's going to devolve into chaos. Now, they're trying to quell the chaos by trying to use a pandemic, which they're going to figure out what's going on with that, but as far as we know, that thing's mutating, so that thing's going to get out of control at some point.
That's an interesting. There's something I want to say about that, so I'll talk about that in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when we were looking at things of what's going on, there are already the people who are in the fight with us. They're out there. A lot of them probably don't know that there's calls like these going on of just, like-minded people that, we pretty much are the new founding fathers of the next country.
Yeah, we are. That's what John Mark says. Yeah.
We are, because I'll read something from the Propertarian site over here of what the left does and now what the Trump people do. They're doing the same exact thing that they claim they hate, and it's called GSRM, and Kurt added an O in front of it as well. It's called, so we'll use OGSRM, and not in the sexual term, obviously. This is just an acronym, but what does it stand for? So it's, he says, the female, parentheses, herd, competitive strategy by circumventing argument by use of undermining, poisoning the well, reputation destruction by use of gossiping, shaming, rallying, ridiculing, moralizing, psychologizing, undermining, reputation destruction, and solving for face or consent. So pretty much, when you see the left, oh, we're outraged. There's the O right there, outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Gossiping, shaming, rallying, ridiculing, moralizing. What do they do all the time? Oh, I have to vote my conscience. I'm going to moralize this. Oh, people with those guns, they're just so evil. So let's go send people with machine guns to go take guns away from people who aren't bothering anybody. Really, that's their moral acumen over here that they're trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anybody falls for that or is a complete retard, they don't deserve any rights, in my opinion. They don't deserve anything. They deserve to go be put in a gulag. Let them work for nothing. Those people who buy into that, hook, line, and sinker, I'm sorry, I have no use for them. Those people are the biggest problem. If you have people who are delusioned by certain things, and really only because that they live in a box. They haven't had anything taken away from them generally. This is why people will buy into that. So if they haven't had anything taken away from them, they think it's not going to happen to them. You have,
right.
it's we call it the normalcy bias. Oh, it'll never happen here. Well, that's, you know, they think, oh, if Trump wins, it'll never happen. It's happening under him.
Right.
And it's actually happening at a faster rate, just like you
right.
said, because you have a sect of the right that is accepting of this stuff. And
yep.
The good part is that because of his rhetoric of take the guns first, due process later, whether or not that was his 5D chess move, whatever it was, it pissed off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost a lot of trust. So that little plan actually backfired. They thought that people were going to support red flags. It's actually very to the contrary. So they're going to push red flags through in a lot of states regardless.
Right.
I don't think it's going to last very long because there's going to be enough people that are going to refuse giving up their guns when the blue line mafia comes to their door and says, well, we're here for your guns. Well, what did I do wrong? Well, we're here for your guns. Well, where's your warrant? We don't need a warrant. Well, okay, well, get the hell out of here. There was a veteran in New Jersey, I believe in 2018, right when all this stuff was going out, he refused a red flag order from the New Jersey State Police. He
mm-hmm.
argued with them for like 4 hours at the door. He never got arrested. The cops ended up going to search his kid's room because the kid allegedly, who was talking with his buddy in school, talking about how schools are just horrifically unsecured. And he was just like, you know, I actually wish that they had armed people in here. And then some little fairy commie goes to the principal and says, oh, this kid was talking about guns, like completely made up lie, because
mm-hmm.
they hear one thing and then all of a sudden their little creative lies start coming in. Oh, if you hear this one word, always go tell the authority figure something in there and make yourself look good.
Right.
So this poor family got terrorized by the New Jersey State Police, which I worked in Jersey for 2 years, and believe me, those people are not—they're not human. There's nothing constitutional about the New Jersey State Police at all.
Yeah. There's not much.
There's not much
in all of New Jersey.
Freaking Jersey! I hated that place. I'm from upstate New York. Even New Yorkers hate New Jersey. That's how bad it is.
Hey, I went to high school in South Jersey. Believe me, I understand.
Oh my God, so the father, he stood his ground and he's like, get the hell out of here. You don't have a warrant. My kid did nothing wrong. Get out
right.
of here with your Gestapo tactics. So they're like, well, we didn't find anything, but you have to get your guns out of your house in 48 hours, or we're gonna take them.
So, interestingly enough, the people who support Trump are, many of them are realizing that he's just another tool for them to use to say, oh, well, he has to look good. He has to gain the centrist support.
Right.
Screw that. I'm done with centrists. You know what
right.
centrists are? They're the same people who've allowed abortion to go through. Oh, well, I agree with something of abortion to some degree. No, screw that. You're killing a kid. You're killing
right.
a kid. It's a human
right.
life. At that point, Kurt Doolittle says it. He's like, at what point does it stop where, you know, he's obviously not a religious person. But he flat out says, he says, if a baby born is being born inside of a woman's stomach, that child has the same natural rights as an adult does. The only difference is once they reach a certain age, they're property of the parents, and then once they reach a certain age, now they're, you know, now their rights are extended, but they have natural rights.
Right. Well, the main thing with abortion is it's not the church nor the government's purview. Neither one of them has jurisdiction. It's the family and the community, and the person they're talking about. Because there are a few cases, they're very small, but there are a few cases where aborting the child would be the proper thing to do. The obvious one, of course, is the health of the mother. The other one would be in the case of rape. Let's say a white woman is raped by a black guy. She has every right. In fact, she should abort that child. Okay, that's a fact, because you're creating something that the biblical law says is a monster, which is a half-breed. And it offends a lot of people because they have friends that are mixed breed, but I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you what the law says and what the law of nature says and what rational thinking says. They all agree. Okay? There's a reason why in antiquity they called half-breeds what they did. All through the centuries that our people walked this earth, half-breeds were looked down upon for a reason. They were called monsters. They were called mamzers. They had all kinds of names. They were called bastards. All kinds of things. Why? Because they should not have been brought into existence. We broke the law. Now, that doesn't mean that the child who's of mixed blood is responsible, because obviously they had nothing to do with it. And that's a whole different topic on how that's to be treated. But I'm just saying, there are some cases, and they're very small.
Yeah.
But this is why I say the government has no business in it, and even the, quote, official church world has no business in it. It's a decision to be made by the elders of the family and the woman involved because of the points I just made. But just to arbitrarily kill the child because it's inconvenient or because you were lazy, those are not justifiable reasons. No, they're not.
No,
that's
no,
murder. No. That's murder, okay? Now you've violated his law yourself because you've killed a child out of convenience or financial concerns, or you got pissed off at the father or whatever. That's, you know, or I knew a woman in New Jersey back when I was in high school who would get knocked up, and then she would blame five or six guys to be the father so that one of them paid for it and the other five paid for her vacation. She actually did that. Okay, so again, is she going to be punished under the law? Absolutely. She'll be punished by karma, which is God's law, and she'll be punished under propertarianism or the biblical law as well, because she's, first of all, she's committing fraud and extortion, and she's lying, blaming somebody for something they didn't do. That's a false witness. So she's violated a whole fistful of laws, and she should be punished. But I'm just saying, that's the kind of mentality we have today. We've gone completely off the rails, and that's what this show is all about, is to talk about the fact that we've gone off the rails in almost every aspect of society you can think about. And we're coming apart because of that. But part of this is by design to herd us into the Trump cult syndrome, to where we will look the other way while Trump dismantles our republic, because he's a Zionist, okay? He's unabashed Zionist. He proclaims himself a Zionist. He proclaims himself a lover of Israel. Same thing, Zionist. His daughter married into him and has changed her name and her faith. I think they were Jews all along. They were just pretending to be Christian. I don't think they're Christian at all, to be honest with you. I don't believe they follow Christ at all. None of them do. So it's all a show. It's all a show. And certainly the members of the deep state cabal that Trump has put into high levels of position, none of them are believers either. They're all globalists, part of the deep state like Pompeo. What a piece of shit that man is. In fact, using the term man is actually a discredit to all males. Okay, the guy is a complete sock puppet for the New World Order, and he's a piece of shit. And I hope somebody runs and tells him I said that, because that's exactly what he is. Okay, just like Bolton, a piece of shit. Elliot Abrams, even worse piece of shit. Okay, so again, this guy is supposed to be the savior of white Christian America, and yet he puts nothing but dog meat, New World Order sycophants in positions of power who bow to their masters coming out of Tel Aviv. Okay, so why should we fall for this whole Trump charade? It's what it is, a Trump charade. I'm sorry, but it is. Everybody tells me that there's 5D chess going on, but how come after 3 years I don't see a single solitary proof that there's any white hats doing a damn thing? Do you, Tommy? Are you? Am I wrong?
Zero. You know, all those we were talking about, I think, like 2 calls ago, the white hats, black hats, gray hats, whatever color hat they want to call themselves, they're all in the same camp. The only time that there's predicted that they're going to be on our side, it's predicted that people in the federal agencies, about 25%, will take the side of the people when it kicks off. The rest of them are for the government. The rest of them, they don't give a rat's butt what happens. As long as their perks and paycheck keeps coming in, they will do exactly what they're told. If they can't be fed, they'll revolt against the government. That's when the food shortages happen. When they can't get fed, they live in normal homes like most other people do. So the most of them, if they're smart, they need to pick their side now. But I don't see that really that happening. So I have really no remorse for the federales. I know some people who are retired from them, and once they got out, they have a completely different outlook on everything because they've been on the inside and they know how corrupt it is. So the retirees are one thing. Though most of them are very good. Most of them have our backs. But the ones who are currently working in it, there's a very small percentage of them that are going to stay behind to try to sabotage. But most of them will do what they're told. It's a fact.
Right.
And when people keep holding out that, some FBI agent is going to go sit here and save us from this, I'm like, let me tell you how tight-knit the FBI is run. In order to get into the FBI, because when I was a teenager, I was reading up on the FBI. I used to idolize them. Oh, I want to go join them. And thank God Yahweh never got me into that. Thank God. I thank to him I never got involved in that. Because the stuff that they do, it makes MS-13 look like Boy Scouts. MS-13 are nothing but complete cretins compared to the FBI. These people have done worse things than what the street gangs do on a daily basis. This comes from cops themselves who are out of the system. They said, what you think what these street gangs do, it's nothing. The government is the devil.
Yeah,
they said that they are Satan. That's exactly it. I've heard this come from people who are retired in federal agencies, and they're like, "Thank God I got out." So I have nothing good to say about them. I hope and pray that many of them come over to the people's side. I do hope for their safety when things do kick off. I hope that they make the right decision to come over to us because I don't advocate any violence toward them because they're probably listening onto the call. That's fine. I don't advocate for anything bad to happen to them. I just want them to use their damn heads and stick with the people. Stick with the people who are going to be around after everything goes off, because the government doesn't give a damn about them.
Right. By the way, somebody's playing with my computer.
Let's talk about the FBI.
Well, yeah, and plus we've had a couple what appears to be trolls in the listening audience today. I couldn't verify it, but it appears to be. So the Israelis may have snuck in the back door because we're discussing their plans and done something to the software, because my screen is froze up.
Oh,
so if anybody's trying to send me something or whatever over the call, I can't recognize anything. I can't acknowledge anything. So it's kind of interesting that I saw two people entered the chat with what appeared to be strange symbology, and then this happens, because that's never happened before. So we know they have that technology. The Israelis have a backdoor into almost all software and our devices, whether it's your smartphones, your tablets, or your computers. And they've got paid cucks, paid little soy boys and girls that sit over there, and that's their whole job, is to monitor stuff like this and cause trouble, because there is no free speech in America. This is a Zionist takeover. It's as simple as that. If people can't see that, they're blind as a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a Bolshevik Zionist Jew takeover, full force, in your face. And what they fear is the armed white American. That is what they fear. And that's why they're hell-bent on disarming us. And they're going to try to do it through the use of the control of the narrative and the law. But our people are starting to talk about civil disobedience. In fact, I've heard several ministries lately talking about it's time for civil disobedience. Because when the law is unrighteous, then it's time to resist it. In fact, I have a quote. I'm trying to find it here. If you had something, Tommy, go ahead while I'm looking for it. But it's basically,
yeah,
when the law becomes unjust, then it's our job to rebel against it. I'm trying to find it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get started. Would I recommend? Do you use VPN?
No, but it looks like I might have to
use it. Trust me, I use NordVPN now. Some people on YouTube are like, "Oh, Nord's compromised." Nord's one of the best ones out there. VPN is good because you can mask your true IP where you're at. Companies can't use that later on, because when you're constantly changing your IP, and every day these companies they erase the logs. So even the government has trouble trying to track down people on VPN, of course. So they also provide from spying, from cybersecurity, all that kind of thing. It has a lot of stuff in there. It cost me like $97 for 3 years subscription. It's stupid cheap.
Yeah, how much is that for what?
NordVPN.
Yeah.
You can run it up to like six devices. I put on my phone, my PC, a tablet, I'm gonna put on my wife's phone eventually soon. It's like $3 a month.
Oh, $3 a month, okay.
But you pay a subscription thing, a 3-year thing, for like $99.
Right, right.
I highly suggest you get it.
Yeah, I may have to at this point. Like I said, it has froze up my not the whole thing, not the whole panel.
No,
it's kind of strange, but there's a couple things on here that all of a sudden quit working. So, and also today was the very first day that when I went to log in to start the show at the last minute, I had to re-submit my password and all this other stuff, which up till today that's never happened. So it could be a coincidence, but
it could be, yeah.
But with what we know about what's going on today, we know that there is a push by the Israelis, because there is so much exposure to their criminality, there is a huge push to shut down all dissent, just like true Bolsheviks. Okay, that's what they did in Russia. What did the Cheka, which was made up of the Jews primarily and some of their paid off white Russian sycophants, what did the Cheka do in Russia? They went to all the intelligentsia and those that were speaking out against the Jews, and they pulled them out in the street and they murdered them. Mm. Okay, we're not far away from that. Okay, right now, because we are still armed, they're careful not to do that. So they're trying to shut us up by shutting down our platforms and curtailing our speech. But the next step, the next logical step will be, once they feel that they have enough of the guns rounded up, then they'll start doing what they did in Russia, where they'll just simply kill you.
Here's where I think it's not going to be as easy for them here, because even the amount of people in Russia at the time that were armed, it was still very small compared to the amount of people that are armed today, especially with mainly semi-automatics, are very formidable fighting tools. I'll give you an example. When people say, oh, you need fully automatic, no, you don't, because most of World War I was fought with bolt-action rifles and semi-automatic rifles. And
right.
Revolvers, and they still won the wars. I'll give you an example. The M1 Garand, semi-automatic, 30-06. Kicks like a beast, but that sucker punched through everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just need to be trained in what you're using, and there's a lot of people going for training today. Commercial training is skyrocketing. So,
oh, yeah.
It's not going to be that simple for them to do it. They're really never going to take the massive amount of guns. They're only going to be able to really do it in the big cities. It's really about it. Maybe some suburbs. This is just my prediction, and this is just what I believe the discernment Yahweh gives me. They physically can't take all the guns. They have to shame people into doing it, and that's not working either. People are not buying it anymore. There's people I've met who were once anti-gun, now buying guns. So It's reversed on them. The problem is they brought it into people's faces too much. If they were smart, they would slow boil the frog. They're impatient. They want their new world order to come now. They messed up. It will be denied. It's only going to work in some big cities, New York City, Los Angeles. Those places are toast. Those places, they're going to separate regardless.
Right.
When that happens, they will be denied food. They're going to have to import it in from China or Europe. And even Europe is going to eventually have to turn their backs on them. So it's not going to work out well for them. So if they think they're going to take over the entire landmass of the United States, they're only going to get a few cities. Maybe some rural areas right outside those cities, but that's really about it.
Right. Well, I don't think it's going to go by their plan because of two reasons. One, your very logical assessment. One, in the scriptures also tell us that their plans will fail. In fact, the prophets told us that everything they plan to do to us will be turned around on them only double. And if you think about it, if all the pissed off white guys ever figure out what's going on, can you imagine the hostility towards these Bolsheviks? Look what that piece of shit Michael Bloomberg is doing.
I detest that guy.
That man is a walking pile of dung. Okay? He's a Bolshevik piece of shit who shouldn't even be walking this earth. Okay, because he is a egotistical, overly paid, overly rich Zionist Jew that thinks that he has the right to interfere with the running of various states, and he has the right to use his money to influence the elections and the promotion of gun control, which is the Zionist agenda. And also, did you know, since this is Sunday, that the Super Bowl... The National Football League denied a pro-Second Amendment commercial, which was very innocent and well done. I've seen the video.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they took the millions of dollars from this pile of dung, Bloomberg, and they're going to put his anti-gun commercial up.
Oh, I can guarantee you that's gonna piss off way too many people. There's a lot of right-wing people that still watch football, and they're not going to be happy about that.
I gave up watching the Negro Football League years ago.
Okay. That's pretty much what it is.
Well, that's right. I gave up on that with all of the satanic halftime bullshit, and you're going to tell me there's no talented white people that could entertain us properly? It's got to be half-dressed, half-breeds out there strutting their booties all over the place, and that's called entertainment? I mean, it's all satanic worship. I mean, besides, again, it's nothing but minorities now. So why would a decent white guy want to watch that? I don't want to watch that.
It's pretty much what the...
That's all it is.
Pretty much.
Well, it's the Negro Basketball Association, the Negro Football League, and the Negro Baseball Association. They're all non-whites now. They got a few token whites in there, but really it's run by non-whites. Why the hell would I want to watch that?
Well, here's a good example. LeBron James. This guy is so stupid. He can't even spell correctly with spell check. He's stupid. Here's the thing. You don't need a high IQ to play sports.
No,
you just need to
be
trained and practice. Really, that's all you need to do. You don't need a high IQ for that. It's one of those things where it does nothing for society. It's just entertainment. It does nothing for civilization building. I mean, let's look at Rome, the Colosseum. The Colosseum was used to keep the masses, lulled to sleep while Rome was being invaded by foreigners.
Yeah, feed them bread and circuses.
Exactly.
That's what the ruling elite said then, and today the bread and circuses is all electronic.
Yeah, they keep using the same tricks over and over again. People are catching on to it. What I think most people are doing is nobody really knows how to initiate, the boogaloo and all that kind of stuff, whatever. So I don't think they want to do it. They're waiting for the government to do it and then respond. And the thing is, the government is not as powerful as they portray themselves to be, because if really they were, why would they have to keep pushing all this propaganda?
Oh, that's exactly right.
And I try to tell people, look, you have to read between the lines. The more propaganda they're putting, that means they're scared.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you look at it that way, you're exactly right. People should keep that in mind. These are all indications that they don't have the power, that they don't have total control, and that they're actually afraid. Exactly
mm-hmm.
right. If they had the power, we'd already be behind the gulag walls.
Exactly. That's why Bernie Sanders, he's only going to – if a Bernie Sanders were to theoretically win, the country would immediately split. I'm not kidding you. The entire South will literally secede. Like, you're seeing West Virginia right now, like we were talking earlier. I would have never heard about something like this. I mean, even my grandparents, if they were over in the United States, would have never heard about secession movements. They would never even have thought about it. Well, here's the good thing Bloomberg did. Bloomberg pissed off the right wing so bad that they're demanding to split off from the big cities.
Right.
So kudos to Bloomberg. That's the only thing I'm going to give to that psychopath. Thank you, Mr. Bloomberg, because I'm going to send that guy a letter. Thank you, sir, for getting people off their asses. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, he is so despicable that it makes you want to vomit.
Yeah, and the thing is, this guy is going to spend so much of his own money to lose. He's not going to win. He's not even popular in the Democrats. They hate him. They don't even like him.
Well, he's an egotistical asshole.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, let's face it.
He's an elitist. The left allegedly hate these rich elitists. So you have this guy who's a multi-billionaire to go take more of your rights away.
Yeah, you got to remember, this is the same moron that thought he could regulate how much sugar you have and what size soft drink you could have.
The 16-ounce sodas, which even a liberal judge shot it down.
Exactly. But it's the point. It's the mentality of a psychopath. And these Bolsheviks are psychopaths.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all, and come on, folks. Let's be honest. It's very Jewish, okay? Any of you people out there like myself who have ever been around Jews and worked with Jews, come on, let's face it. It is stereotypical. They can write all the laws they want. I don't really give a damn at this point in my life. I've lived longer than I expected to live already, so I don't really give a damn. I'm going to tell you the way I see it, and the way I see it is you can't argue with facts. You can't argue with empirical evidence, and the empirical evidence is Jews think they're smarter and better than everybody else. As a race of people, they do. Every single person I know, friend and family and acquaintance, who's ever been around them, has had the exact same experience. To a person. No exceptions. Every single one of them. So, if they make a law, which they have made a law, by the way, if you make a stereotypical statement about, well, they only care about doing it to Jews. They don't care if you do it about blacks, Latinos, whatever. They're trying to shut down the exposure of the Jew. Okay? So they've actually made a law to say you can't do that. Well, screw you, because it's the truth, all right? And that's all we care about, the truth. The truth is that's exactly what they are. And if you listen to the rantings of the rabbis lately, rabbis have been caught on tape. Sometimes they know it, sometimes they don't, but they've been caught on tape saying exactly what I just said. We Jews are the superior people, and it's our destiny to rule this earth. Okay, they've admitted it. It's in writing. It's in the protocols of the elders of Zion. Okay, so it's in writing. It's in their writings. It's been in their writings for a long time. And now they come out in public and state it. So if they want to say that's against the law to point out that fact, well, make it the law. I at this point, I really don't give a damn.
It's not going to matter because there. I saw something on Facebook where they said the Holocaust denying has gone mainstream.
And, really?
And, yeah, it's saying that the more they're trying to suppress it, the more it's getting out. The more a lot of articles are coming out saying, how did 6 million Jews died when this was written back in like 1912 in newspapers saying 6 million Jews died?
Yeah, World War One. They tried to use it for World War One too.
So it's bringing up too many questions now. So they can make all the laws they want. They can't arrest everybody, and even when they do, that's just going to push things more. They're stupid for doing that. They're really dumb for doing that, because all that just did is just said, you're guilty if you have to make a law protecting only one group of people. Well, that violated the Bill of Rights, by the way. So a court is going to have to strike that down at some point. They will have to do it.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, even the normies are going to realize we have no court system in this country anymore. Uh-oh.
Well, we don't.
So at some point, even the Catholic judges are going to have to rule against this to save their own asses. And they know this, so they're just biding time.
Exactly, because, again, what is the only thing that these automatons fear? White, pissed off white men with guns. That's it.
Yep.
That's the only thing they fear. They don't give a damn about lawsuits. They don't care about petitions. They don't care about notices of liability. They don't care about I do not consent, because they're Bolsheviks. They don't give a damn. Their job, they see their job is to take over this republic and turn it into a giant gulag with them in charge, period.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing driving them. They don't give a damn about anything else. The only thing that impedes their progress is the pissed off white guys with guns. That's it.
In my assessment, and I'm not a blind optimist. A lot of people call me pessimist. The reason why I'm optimistic about a lot of things is because they've lost control. If they were in such control, they wouldn't have to put out this Q nonsense. They wouldn't have to sit here and put out all this crap. It would just, things would just be the way they are, but they wouldn't be this bad. The reason why they're this bad is they lost control, so enough people blew the whistle on things, and enough people are standing up to them. So it's just going to get worse for them, and that's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, we've already won the long-term battle. We already have the moral authority. John Mark did a fantastic video when he went to Richmond, and he said him showing up over there with people armed to the teeth, peaceful. They cleaned up the city. And a lot of people were pissed off that they didn't storm the Capitol. It wasn't time for that. It was a show of force to sit here and saying, F around and find out. That's pretty much what it was. F around and find out. So they're going to keep effing around. They're going to find out. And the public is on notice saying that, hey, the good people have already said they showed up peacefully. Not one shot was fired. Everybody there were pretty much like, man, this is the safest I've ever felt in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you've ever gone for firearms training at a commercial school, it's the safest place you'll ever be. You'll never have to worry about World War III went off. There are strangers there training right with you. You'll probably make the best friends you've ever made in your life.
You know, when I went to the Tea Party rally in 2009, there were 2 million people, just like the people in Richmond, only there were 2 million of us. Can you imagine that? Now, the only thing different about the rally in Washington in 2009 is that the organizers asked that everybody, if they were carrying, to keep them concealed.
Yeah.
So there was not an outward display of weaponry there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you something. It was the same feeling, though. I never felt more comfortable, more at ease, or safer than I did that day. 2 million, almost completely middle-class white men, women, and children filled the entire downtown D.C. completely. And we weren't even carrying open arms, and yet it was obvious they were threatened by us. And that crowd behaved exactly like the crowd in Richmond. It was beautiful.
Exactly.
Everything I'm hearing about the crowd in Richmond was exactly the same with the crowd in Washington, D.C. in 2009. Large groups of us, shoulder to shoulder, no cursing, no swearing, no aggression, no acts of violence, picked up all our litter. Now, can you imagine how much litter there was with 2 million people in downtown Washington, D.C.? And yet, when we walked out of there that day, every piece of trash was either in a trash can, and when the trash cans got full, they stacked it up beside the trash can. There was no litter anywhere on the grounds. Every porta potty was still standing. Every porta potty, there were lines of people to use them, and they just waited patiently in line for their turn. There was no banging, screaming, discontent, all this other nonsense you see at like concerts and things like when Obama's inauguration party they had in Washington, D.C., it looked like a war zone, and they didn't have anywhere near as many people there as we did. And it looked like an absolute war zone. I remember the newspaper articles were talking about how many millions of dollars it took to clean up Washington, D.C. after the unruly leftist communist crowd left the party for that little mamzer piece of shit Obama coming into office. I'm going to tell you, I have no respect for the office of president since John F. Kennedy left it. None. None of them since John F. Kennedy have any respect as far as I'm concerned. They're all communists. They're all part of the charade. They've all done the bidding of the Jew. There has nobody stood up for us since 1965. Period.
Yeah.
Think about this. Right after Kennedy was assassinated is when the Jew, Jacob Javits, and his little band of merry misfits dismantled. No, it was 1965. They dismantled our immigration policy.
Yeah, and they instituted the 1968 immigration.
They further changed it.
Yeah.
That's right. But it started, I think it started in 1965. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was 65.
Yeah.
But in 68, they further opened up the gates, the floodgates. Right. In fact, our traders in Washington, these sycophants to Tel Aviv, they cheered about the floodgates being open. They bragged about it, much like the dancing Israelis bragged about the Twin Towers coming down. The dancing Israelis cheered about the fact that our immigration policy had been destroyed and the floodgates were now open. So this has been going on for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to see ministries now, ministries like Coach Dave and Chuck Baldwin and Rick Wiles are finally, Rick Wiles, talking openly about this Bolshevik insurgency and that the Christian world had better get their heads out of their asses and smell the coffee because, the hour is late and it's not looking good at this point. Now, I think we're going to win in the end, but the longer this takes to get started, the uglier it's going to get before we win it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be ugly as it is. I try to tell people, look, prepare for the worst, pray for the best outcome. Many predict that some people think there's not going to be a civil war in the country. Well, it's going to be a civil war, just not in the aspect of armies fighting armies of that kind. And I don't think it's going to morph into a revolution right away. Ever since, there's just going to be a short, few week nasty time where it's going to be neighbor shooting neighbor, unfortunately, and then the government's going to have to force a separation at that point because otherwise there's not going to be any power. So it's going to get hot and heavy for a good few weeks, I believe. When this thing starts, I don't know, but it's going to force the entire South and the West to split off from the, from the mainly blue territories, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what's ironic? How the Father works in mysterious ways. I bought one of the books I just recently bought is a novel written by a colonel named Schlechter, and he's like Tom Clancy. He writes novels, but he's making a political statement about what's going on. And I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book, and it's called People's Republic.
I just got his fourth book out. I've been reading that.
Did you read the People's Republic yet?
That was the first book I read from him.
Oh,
I couldn't put that book down.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because he's describing exactly what we're talking about right now.
It's exactly what I believe is gonna happen. I think at least how it kicks off. Now, after it kicks off, is a bunch of different things, and this is where Kurt Doolittle's proprietarianism comes into play. This is where we could truly fix the problems for long term, because it's interesting in Kurt Schlichter's book, America turns like a right wing on steroids. Everybody carries at this point. In the fourth book I'm reading right now, it just came out a few months ago, and this one's called Collapse. Highly recommend you pick it up. But read Indian Country, Wildfire, and then Collapse. Read those in order.
I have Indian Country. I'm going to read it next.
Yep. It's a prequel to People's Republic. He does change the outcome slightly, but it really doesn't matter because the country splits regardless.
Right.
So Indian Country it takes place a few years prior to People's Republic, and it gives you a foresight of how bad it gets in the People's Republic, how they have to force a separation from that territory because it becomes ungovernable.
Right.
So you're going to see things like that happen when these Bolsheviks do get into full power, and many rural areas that have a lot of veterans, have a lot of guns that didn't give them up, they're going to make those areas red hot to where the commies are going to have to let them go. They're not going to be able to control them. So Indian Country explains that. It is a novel, but it does bring into play of what could possibly happen. Highly recommend you read all those books. Highly recommend it. You won't put those books down.
Yeah, I do have. I've got either two or three of his books. I'm not sure if Collapse is one. I do know I have Indian Country and People's Republic right now. I'm going to read those first.
Yeah.
I've also ordered a couple other books by other authors doing very, very similar things.
Yeah. Collapse is like $6 on Amazon for a Kindle version. So it's that was his newest one. But he said in the next book after that, he's going to explain how the separation really kicks off, like how it really occurs in his opinion. That one is going to be a really important one.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just, like I said, Tom Chittum's book, Civil War II, is very, very similar. And I read a series of novels back in the 1980s called Fire in the Ashes, which are very, very similar to what Schlichter's writing about.
Mm-hmm.
It was a story about a guy named Ben Rains, who was military, and they formed a new country called Tri-States, which was the northwestern Pacific states, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. And basically what it was is just like Schlichter talks about, the best of Americans left and went to the Tri-States area, and the whole series of novels is about the exploits of the rest of the country taken over by the Bolsheviks, trying to get into the Tri-States area to destroy them because they're jealous, because the Tri-States are blooming and it's peaceful, and all the scientists and doctors and researchers went to the Tri-States, which left the rest of the country in the shambles, just like Schlechter's book talks about. So, but you know, I can't find those books anymore. I've been looking and searching. I can't think of the author's name. But the series was Fire in the Ashes, so each book was Fire in something. But I started off with Fire in the Ashes, and it was back in the 1980s, and I can't find them anymore. But it's, you know, people have been trying to warn us about where we're headed. I think they've been trying to warn us for quite some time. So.
Oh yeah.
But Tom Clancy, I believe, did a great job too, and that might be why they had to take him out. Some circles believe he was Arkin cited because of his knowledge level about what these clowns are up to. I don't know if that's true or not, but there are some circles saying that. And if you read his books, there's a lot of truth in them, even though they're novels. They're just like Colonel Schlechter's books. It's funny because you can tell he's a military guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he very down to earth on what he thinks of the political system and these pieces of dog meat that we have in government today. It's absolutely amazing. But I wanted to talk about what's happening in China, because one of my friends pointed something out to me yesterday. We had a discussion. He said, "Are you watching what's happening to China?" And I said, "Well, I don't watch mainstream news." I said, "I know about the hype on this flu." I said, "That all I can tell you is what they're telling you is a lie." And he said, "Yeah." He says, "But do you know that everything that's happening there is hurting China dramatically financially, their economy?" So I started thinking about that, because I just saw an article this morning about certain companies are shutting down operations in China.
Cool.
Now, you got to remember, our Bolshevik government set up China many years ago by shipping a lot of our manufacturing over there and giving them access to our patent office and inventions and intellectual property, etc. That's the only reason that they even have an intercontinental ballistic missile. They couldn't even design one until the Clintons opened up the patent office, and within 6 months they bragged about having an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching the United States. Up until the Clintons' treason, they couldn't do it. So, here's my point. We made communist China. We set them up. I should say the Bolsheviks within the United States set them up. Now, why all of a sudden would these same Bolsheviks want to punish the good little boys in communist China? And here's what I was thinking. If indeed this is an economic punishment on China, here's a possible reason why. Have you been reading some of the reports about the unrest in China, the riots?
No, I never heard about riots in China.
Yeah, they've had some riots. They've had some riots. Well, it's Hong Kong is open, so we get to hear about what happens in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Hong Kong separated from Chi-Com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I think might be happening, because the world is waking up to these Bolsheviks, and the Chinese people might become aware of the fact that with their numbers, the Chinese, even with their draconian measures, could not control that population if they decided to kick them out.
No way.
What I'm thinking it might be is that this is the Tel Aviv Zionists telling the communists in China that if you don't get them under control, we're going to pull your financing. This is punishment because you've allowed civil unrest to foister its head in China.
Oh, do you hear? You hear in France, firefighters are fighting police now.
I know France. I got a buddy of mine.
Firefighters.
Living. Yeah,
they're fighting the cops in there.
Yeah, I mean, France is in turmoil.
It just shows you that there's civil war going on in there, and they're keeping it quiet.
Think about this. What does Scripture tell us at the end of the age? It tells us at the end of the age, the whole world is going to wake up to what these Zionists are up to. Okay, now, the Bible doesn't call them Zionists. You have to have enough discernment to know what the Bible's talking about. The Bible calls it the son of perdition. Well, what does weos, which is the word translated son, mean? It means more than just son. It means an ancestor or a descendant or somebody related to. Okay, well, who represents perdition? Satan. Who are the children of Satan? Zionists, the Jews, exactly as Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, called them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, you're vipers, you're devils, you do the work of your father. Well, who's doing the work of their father? The Bolshevik Jew.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the book of Revelation says at some point the world wakes up to this, and we, who are the sons of God, which is an idiomatic expression, by the way, that means the men who present themselves as God in the sense that they represent his value system. Well, who represents Yahweh's value system more than the white man? Nobody. Nobody on this earth represents Yahweh more than the white race, the Adamic race. So, the prophets told us that when the white men with arms, with guns, manifest themselves, there will be a worldwide revolution to take down the Bolshevik Jew. And when the Bolshevik Jew is taken down, the whole world will march around and be totally, mystified that this group, this tiny little group of misshapen, demented psychopaths were able to destroy and murder and kill and rape and pedophile for centuries and bring this earth to ruin the way this little minority has done through the centuries. That's in Scripture, if you have discernment.
Yep.
And I can almost see that happening, Tommy.
Oh, absolutely. It's, funny how Jews will sit here and say, the ones, the 99% of them that hate Messiah, like, they, it's not only do they not believe in him, they have disdain for him. So how is it that they're God's chosen people when they have disdain for the Son of God? And I ask that question to some people, and they really can't come up with that. When they're like, oh, Israel's our ally. I'm like, where does it say that in the Bible? You know, because it mentions the nation of Israel during those times, I'm like, well, the nation of Israel today is nothing like what it was centuries ago or even millennia ago.
Right.
And I'm like, you have to read between the lines over here. And people, they're so fixated on, well, they're our allies. They're God's chosen people. I'm like, no, they're not.
No.
Hate Jesus Christ.
They what hate us.
They hate everything about white civilization. I mean,
right.
Who do you think created all this architecture? Who created air conditioning? Who created glass to protect women and children from from outside predators? Who created all these things?
We
did. Those whites that did these.
Yeah, read. People need to read the book "Human Accomplishment" by Charles Murray. It's a big, thick book, but it's all the human accomplishment, and you'll find that 99% of human accomplishment was done by white men. So, you know, you're right about that. You know, the other interesting thing is these Christian Zionists, who are complete retards, they don't even know that the country called Israel, that's not really what that country's called. It's Israeli. So these people don't even have enough brains to figure out that the country's not even called Israel. They just want you to think it's called Israel. It's called Israeli. Now, in the sick, demented brain of a Jew, they did that on purpose because Israeli is the feminine form and it's mocking the living God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's easy to prove because what do they call themselves? Israelis. They don't call themselves Israelites. If the country's name was actually Israel, they would be Israelites. They're not. They're Israelis because their country is Israeli. Okay, so right there, the devil's in the details. It's telling you, but you got to have enough brains to figure it out. And they know that the average white person today in America is dumber than a box of rocks. When it comes to being able to figure that kind of stuff out, they're just dumber than rocks. They really are. except that small, well, it's actually not that small. It's the largest army in the world. And that's pissed off awoke white men. That's who they're afraid of.
Yep. That's why they always have this the term called the right wing extremists.
Yeah, well,
it's so funny. I'd love to see them say right wing extremists if it was black or Hispanic majority in them. Would they call them right wing extremists?
Oh, of course not.
Uh-huh, exactly, because they know that it's only about they did statistics. John Mark did his video. It was like two videos before the most recent one, where he shows a statistic where it's about 40% of Hispanics believe in gun rights. The other 60 don't.
Right.
Blacks, it's only like 20% believe in gun rights. And 80%, something around there, believe in gun control. Well, isn't that interesting? And whites, it's like predominantly whites overall.
Right. You still there? You still there, Tommy? Okay, I thought I heard him drop off. Tommy, you still there? Because we can't hear you, bud. The board shows you're still connected, so I'm not sure what's going on. But that's true. John Mark, Kurt Doolittle have all the charts, all the statistics for anybody that wants to go out there and find out. This country was founded by white men and women, and it was the white men who designed it, who established it, but the organic documents set its rules and foundations, and that's just the facts. If people don't like it, it's too bad. But also, preachers like James David Manning in Harlem, New York, who's a black man with a PhD, so he's no dummy. He acknowledges that fact and tells his black congregation over the radio and in person that America will die if the white race does not take back control. As he says in his lectures, they built this country, they know how to run it, and it's not running well because they have been displaced, disenfranchised. And if the white people don't rise up and take it back, America will die. And what you people, meaning his black audience, need to understand is all the things that you enjoy today will disappear if the white man does not take back America. So just understand that. If you're cheering the white race being displaced in their own country, just remember when the white race, and Jews are not white, so get that out of your head. I'm getting tired of people equating Jews and whites as if we're the same. We're not. They are completely different species of, I'm not even sure if they're human, but they're a different species of creature. They are not of us. So anytime somebody on these channels calls Jews white, I make sure to tell them that you are aiding and abetting the deception. Okay? They are not white. That's why white people get a bad name, because a lot of things that have happened in history, especially in the area of slavery, it was Jews who did it, and they are blaming whites because people don't have enough sense to differentiate between Jews and white people. They are not synonymous. So, Tommy, I don't know if you can hear me, but we've lost you as far as your audio. The board shows you still connected, so I don't know if you're in a dead zone or what. So I'll just, okay, I don't see anything else I can do. but anyway, thanks for being on, Tommy. If you can get back on, great. If not, we'll talk next time. Besides, we're at the two-hour mark, so I'll probably go ahead and wrap this one up for today. But it was a good time. A lot of good stuff brought up. Tommy, I'm glad you called in. There's a lot of stuff going on, but again, as Tommy says, a lot of this stuff is indicative of the fact that the Jews can feel their control slipping away. That's why they are demanding the gun control. They're demanding these idiotic laws that say you can't criticize Jews, you can't question the Holocaust, you can't. Now they even got, I guess, Virginia wants a law that you can't criticize your government. Well, this, all people have to do is take a look at that little bastard nation called Itzalai and look at how the Jews run that country. That's what they want to do here. It's exactly the same thing. They have drones. They have 5G monitor. No, they don't have 5G because it theirs is hardwired, because they know 5G is not healthy, so Israel doesn't have it. At least the last time I checked, they didn't have it. So, but they do have the spy mechanisms. They have the cameras, the scanners. They suppress the other people, the non-Jews, the Palestinians are murdered in the streets, they're treated like cattle, which is exactly what they got planned for here. There's no difference. So if you want to see how you're going to get treated once the Bolsheviks take over, just picture yourself as a Palestinian. And for you Christian Zionists out there who are completely brain dead, you have been completely misled by those lying prostitutes called preachers. You're in for a rude awakening should the Bolsheviks win. You're in for a rude awakening. I have no misconception about what these clowns are up to, because I read. Instead of watching that damn television, the electronic toilet, I actually read books. I actually study history. I actually read the writings of many Jews like Benjamin Friedman and Henry McCow and Brother Nathaniel. Okay? They expose these Zionists. I've read the protocols. I've read the historical accounts of Solzhenitsyn and the Polish officer that escaped the gulag. I've read what these assholes do. Okay? You poor simpletons out there that think socialism and Marxism is a good thing is because you're dumbasses. You're just stupid. You're just plain boxes of rocks. You're an idiot. Anybody with a brain knows that communism is a bane to all that's good and right in this world. Only a complete mental idiot would know otherwise. It's just unbelievable. But there are people that's stupid. But the good news is, like I said, they don't fear the left. Okay, the useful idiots is what the communists refer to these teenagers and young people and feminists and all that do their bidding. They're just useful idiots, because they'll easily get rid of them when the time comes. They're just being used right now. The only people they fear, again, are the armed white man. That's the only group of people, Yahweh's chosen people, that can stop them from world domination. and they know that. By the way, this this flu thing, this coronavirus, please, folks, don't fall for this bullshit. All right? I mean, how many times? Swine flu, bird flu, Zika, Ebola, HIV, I mean, time after time, and you're going to let it get to you one more time? It's bullshit. All right? And number two, what's the greatest defense mechanism you could possibly have? Your own body, your own immune system. And there's been several sites that I've watched lately that are talking about that. Folks, you have an immune system. It's good against any virus. It doesn't matter what it is. And it's all propaganda. It's all fear porn. Again, they're driving the herd. Just think of all these reports and all this stuff going on. It's just them driving the herd. You're part of the herd. Cattle. That's why they call us Goyim. That's a Yiddish. Their language is Yiddish, not Hebrew. It's Yiddish. And it's kind of interesting. The word Yid means deceiver. So their very language is the language of deceivers, Yiddish. The Yids are deceiving you just like they did our people for thousands of years until Christ came along and identified them. That's why Christ came, you know, the anointed one. He said, I come as an example. Why? Because our people are stupid. The prophets tried to warn them, and yet they followed these same communists, these same Bolshevik Pharisees over the centuries. Why? Because they dangle trinkets in front of them. Oh, look, you can have a flat screen. Oh, look, you can drive a nice, pretty little car. Oh, you can have a few shekels if you obey us. You see, the same temptations that Christ was shown on the Mount, right? That was 2,000 years ago. He was taken up on the Mount. What was he shown? Oh, the glitz and glitter, the same bullshit that the white man grovels at the feet of the Jew for. You're bought and paid for whores, people. You haven't figured that out yet, have you? If the Jew can get you and buy you that cheaply, you're a whore. And most of our people are whores. Sorry. Sad fact, but it's true. Our people never come out of something like this until money loses its value, until material things lose their value, and principles matter. That's when things change. When you put principles before material goods. That's when things will change. So everything on the tube is fear porn. Yahweh is our Father. He watches over His children. He does not abandon us. He never has and never will. He gave you a body with a perfect defense mechanism if you take care of it. And don't fall for the fear porn. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters around this earth. We also thank You for watching over us as Your children. We know that those that truly love You and obey You and listen to the Holy Spirit, they walk a different walk than the rest of these people. And the enemy hates that. They hate us. They hate the remnant with a passion. And the remnant is growing. Every day I see it. The remnant is growing, and that has them afraid. That's why they are so obsessed with this pushing of the Pharisaical laws. But at the same time, it's also exposing them for who they truly are. Even many ministries are now awake, Father, and we ask You to bless them. Bless True News down here in Vero Beach, Florida, and Rick Wiles and his co-hosts who are putting out tremendous information. We ask a blessing on Coach Dave and his huddle, because they're starting to take a stand against this stuff. Also, a blessing upon Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who recently put out a tremendous message exposing these Zionist Bolsheviks for what they are. As this grows, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit be poured out even stronger upon this earth. If the Chinese are rising up, and this is an evidence of them wanting to throw off these megalomaniacs that have had such tight control over them, praise Yahweh for that. We pray a blessing upon it. And let these Chinese people know that when we, the white man, finally take back our countries from these Bolsheviks, we will be the greatest allies to all of these nations that seek independence and freedom, and to get the yoke of these Jewish bankers off of their necks. We're your greatest allies, folks. There's nothing to fear from us. That's Jewish propaganda. It's the Jews who are the bane of civilization, not us. We're here as an ally, and we're here to set this world straight according to God's law. And God's law promotes peace and prosperity for everybody, as long as you operate within his law. Basically, his law is to do no harm. Do no harm. It's as simple as that. Love the Creator and do no harm. How much simpler can it be? And we, again, thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We ask your blessing. We ask you to forgive us our sins, to wash us of our dross, to clean us, to make us fit for proper service. And we also ask you to continue to protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.